Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the Financial Times podcast, looking at the weekly events in the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and one event has dominated the markets, including FX, and that, of course, is the Italian political crisis, which led to a big dollar rally, a sell-off in emerging market FX, and worries about the long-term future of the euro. With me to discuss the implications of this classic political risk event on the markets is Adrian Hilton, head of global rates and currency at Columbia Threadneedle. Adrian, Tuesday morning, when we woke up to massive movements in the Italian bond yields, what was that like? What was it like from your desk?
Pretty scary, frankly. To come in and see the front end of the Italian government bond curve, 300 basis points higher than it had been a couple of weeks previously, was pretty unnerving.
Panic stations.
It was a little bit. I must say, I don't think the bank holiday helped. The fact that the news broke over the weekend, the news of the escalation of the crisis broke over the weekend. And so we'd already seen what those markets in on Monday had done. And so London traders arriving on Tuesday morning at their desks, and then New York traders a bit later on. You kind of knew what was coming.
But why was everybody worried? I mean, Italian political crises, they happen every other week, don't they? I mean, what's so different about this one?
I think what had changed, and let's not forget that markets were already pretty nervous about Italy the previous week. We'd had this coalition agreement from the Lega and the Five Star that had detailed some pretty expensive fiscal promises and presented a program that seemed to set Italy on course for a confrontation with Brussels. So we were already pretty nervous. I think what changed over the weekend was that there had been an injection of intrinsic friction in the Italian political system. And for the first over membership of the euro.
Yeah.
For the first time, the President of the Republic had said, look, if you guys want to leave the euro, then you have to say it. The attempt to appoint this chap Savona as the economy minister was seen as a direct attempt to put a really pretty passionate Eurosceptic into arguably the most influential political position.
So the worry about the, as I was saying earlier, the worry about the long-term future of the euro was real, which was genuine. That's
I think it was. This wasn't just a widening of BTP spreads that
Italian bonds. Yeah,
that's the spread of Italian bonds over the equivalent German bonds in the long end of the curve. This was the front end of the curve. This was the safest part of the Italian curve, the 2-year government bond. And when you see a move of that magnitude, it's really markets saying, we don't know whether these bonds are going to be repaid.
Right. Okay.
We don't know what a euro's worth.
So that's Tuesday morning. 48 hours later, here we are, Thursday. The market has decided there was nothing to worry about. It's all fine. I mean, I'm struggling to believe that actually political risk is finished in Italy. It's all over and we can go back to worrying about data in the US and data in the Eurozone. Why is the market suddenly, you know, reverse direction?
It would be nice if we could go back to worrying about such mundane matters. But I think what's happened is that there has been a sort of permanent injection of tension into the situation. Mm. It doesn't look like either of these parties are willing to back down. The Lega are apparently intent on pushing for a new election. A cynic might say that they were deliberately sabotaging the government deal in order to go to elections. Yes. Their poll ratings are improving all the time. They seem to be gaining from the five-star movement.
Are you saying that the reverse on Thursday is wrong, that actually the market should continue to be selling off?
I think there ought to be a political premium in Italian asset prices that wasn't there previously.
Yes.
I think in truth, markets had perhaps become a little bit too complacent on European political risk. Now,
my next question. Go on then.
As you know, markets love big themes. We all talk about them at the start of the year. This is going to be the theme of the year. And European political risk was very much last year's theme. 2017 was the year we had to worry about French elections and Dutch elections and so on. And it was only a year after Brexit, of course, after the Brexit vote. What shocked markets is that 2018, all that was supposed to be behind us.
Yes. We started the year euphorically, didn't we? We were buying every equity going. And therefore, when we came actually to the Italian election in March, no one cared about the outcome, did they? Euro was fine.
Even though this was the biggest vote for populist parties in the recent history of Europe. So I think that in part has caught markets off guard. And I think it is natural that we can't revert to those sort of halcyon days of super tight peripheral European spreads. It calls into question what is a euro if the third largest economy can be potentially months away from leaving the bloc. Look, it's not my base case that happens. Yeah. And so I think some of the extreme market moves we saw at the start of this week probably were just that, rather too extreme. But I don't think we can discount it completely.
Okay. So some quick questions, just a brief answer if I can. But volatility, it's something we now really should start getting used to for the rest of the year?
I think I think we have to. We've been lucky or unlucky, depending on a point of view, that we've had a long run of very low volatility, where carry has been an important driver of returns.
And leading on to that makes, say, trying to judge the direction of the euro against the dollar very hard. It might range trade for a while, and even right to the end of the year. It seems to be so many. Conflicting factors.
Possibly. I think one thing to note is that this the Italian effect, as if you like, kind of juiced a dynamic that was already underway in terms of the euro. So the euro had weakened through the first part of this year because that what was supposed to be 2018's narrative, which was a global synchronized recovery, where all growth in the world kind of converges, and that the US is sort of unexceptional. Mm. Led the euro, that thesis was challenged pretty starkly by decline in business sentiment over the first quarter of the year. And so the euro was already in decline. I think long positions in euro, short positions in dollar had grown to massive proportions at the start of the year, and that was being unwound as well. So all of these things have pointed in the same direction.
Okay, let's extrapolate this week in broader terms. What does this mean about risk? Is the market now facing the rest of the year leaning more instinctively towards being risk averse, or is there still plenty of appetite to get back into that old loving risk that we had at the start of the year? Do you remember we loved emerging markets at the start of the year? Now look at them.
Yeah, I think while some of the moves have been extreme locally, credit's been pretty well behaved, equities haven't been badly behaved. Uh-huh. I think we're a long way from saying that we're in the markets are in a risk-off environment. Now, whether they should be or not is a different question. And as we go through this year, as the Fed continues to tighten, financial conditions elsewhere begin to tighten at the margin, we seem to be in the middle of a marginal slowdown out of China. Energy prices are obviously much higher than they were a year ago. All of these things do increase the risk of an accident. And so I think it would be unwise for markets to be too complacent about those risks.
Fair enough. Adrian, just to conclude, I mean, I sometimes feel that the markets always forgot that 2018 was going to be a tricky year. The whole issue was that we're going to take our foot off the monetary easing pedal, that we were going to start getting used to this new regime in terms of monetary policy. And it was going to be tricky. That those factors still remain. I mean, global fundamentals, they are still pretty sound. But ultimately, this is still a very tricky journey, isn't it?
I think it is. I think some of those growth expectations, particularly in the US, where a lot of hope has been built into the effects of US tax reform, are yet to be proven. It's not clear that consumption is picking up quite as it was supposed to. CapEx, we'll have to probably wait and see, but the signals so far are fairly mixed. And this is in the context of a Fed that is tightening on a quarterly basis. So I agree with you. I don't think the world looks too gloomy at present, but the risk of accidents is larger than we assumed it was at the start of the year.
My thanks to Adrian Hilton of Columbia Threadneedle. Next week, we will look ahead at the ECB's crucial June meeting. Will they take their cue from the markets and stay dovish, or is the start of the great quantitative easing retreat upon us? Join us next week. Until then, from Hard Currency, it's goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.